So today's one of my strangely favorite days for doing these podcasts. Let's start over. So today's one of the strangely pleasant days I find doing these podcasts, which is laundry day. Good old boring ass laundry day. Because yeah, yesterday walking on the Ome Hills hiking course, it was amazing. It was truly great. But, ooh, man, it got really tough at the end. Although I was looking up some reviews and things, and people do say, like, yikes, that last bit, right? Jeez, like, that's tough on the knees, or, like, that it's kind of cool how, as you progress, things do get harsher and harsher, so you can kind of bail out where you want. Though, realistically, I think one person said, you know, this is the most accurate way, because it's not actually hard. It just goes from easy to moderate, you know, and it's like, yeah, I think that's fair. But it was such a long hike that got moderately hard at the end that, yeah, geez, when I got back to my Airbnb, I just, like, didn't properly fall asleep, because God forbid, as if I'd be able to just fall asleep. But I did conk out for, like, an hour. I was like, oh, geez, I can't move. What the heck? And then, unfortunately, that gave me the 1-2 punch of taking a little nap, sort of sprung my brain back into action, like, oh, what is this? Is this a new day now? let's be awake again. And snory guy next to me, oh, geez. It was terrible, then it was okay, then it was back to terrible. I mean, I definitely have a touch of the misophonia, like, I don't react well to sounds. But that is just the worst sound, just the sound of snoring. These little thin walls of a Japanese house, just it's like a buzzsaw just cutting through, just rumbling the whole fucking place. And I mean, obviously it's not actually doing that, but yikes. Yeah, like it's just weird too. So trying to, I never actually saw this person. We never actually crossed paths, but just picking up the little, whatever details you can from just being in the room next to someone. There's the snoring, obviously, which was weirdly not bad 2 days ago, but then was terrible again. And like when I went outside to go to the washroom, I heard them in there. They're just like the sounds. It's like you are being strangled by a demon in your sleep. And I know these people don't know this is happening. They don't know what's going on. But this person had to have had like sleep apnea because it was just nuts. It's just like, it's like, what is happening to you? What is happening to you? Sort yourself out, mate. What is this? It's like you are being possessed. You are dying in there. What the hell is happening? And yeah, I don't know, just this secret world of snorers. There are so many just wild, like wild, out of control snorers in the world. And I mean, I guess my dad is quite a bad snorer, but I just haven't been in the same house as him since the early 2000s. You know, I just kind of like, oh yeah, I guess I sort of forgot about that. But it is true. I went to visit my grandmother with him once. We had to share a hotel room and it was a nightmare. It's not that I've never been aware of snoring, but it just has not been a part of my life lately. And yeah, it's just this whole other underworld of terror. And that's the irony, is that the people who seem to be snoring, they don't seem to be having a ton of trouble falling asleep. But there's all these people around them. Whatever. Again, who cares? Why bother? There's nothing that can be done about it. It's just luck of the draw. But I was up till like real late last night, like 6 a.m. I just could not properly fall asleep. And I was like getting angry. Just like I said physically at one point, like, shut up. You know? Because when you're, like, almost asleep and you get woken up and it's just like, yeah, it's a level of frustration that I can't stop myself anymore. I can't hold my tongue. I want to just kick the door down and stomp that person into oblivion. So, I mean, you can't sleep through anger. So it's like, I guess I'm just staying up, whatever. But then, mercy of all mercies, today... Their fucking room is, the door's open, everything's empty, they seem to be gone. Like, thank you, thank fucking Christ. Fuck me. I mean, I knew snoring was bad in a bunk bed, it's just nuts that it's still in the next room. It's like, still a problem. Fuck. Brutal. So anyway, having stayed up all night, and then I did manage to sleep in all the way till 11. Amazing, but still not that much sleep. And my laundry, it's like in perfect equilibrium now, where my shirts and my underwear and my socks all actually lined up. So I have one backup pair of socks, and it's the little ankle socks that I bought by accident in Itabashi. So no choice but to do laundry today. Everything has been used up to its fullest degree, and I have that one dumb pair of socks, I guess, as like an emergency. But the laundry place is right across the street from my Airbnb. Seems to be another case where I can just throw $10 in the machine, which is kind of a lot to do laundry, but it'll just do everything. It'll feed in the soap, it'll dry them. Amazing. So I'll do that this evening when I get back. But for today, for a nice easy journey, I'm just gonna go to Akiruno, go to the Aeon Mall, and bring my laptop and hang out at the Starbucks. Because I haven't been back to that neighborhood. I passed beyond it to go to Musashi Itsukaishi once, but I haven't been back to Akiruno proper, by Akigawa Station. And as I'm unraveling more of the surrounding areas, it does seem like going beyond there to like Komine Park, that's one option. Going up to Ome is fucking amazing. Going beyond Ome to Okutama is the hardcore, serious mountaineering place. Akiruno is a bit of just a normal, pretty neighborhood with, you know, not a lot of nature hikey type stuff actually directly there. It was just a neighborhood I always liked walking around in. So today, that's all. Just a nice little easy walk around the neighborhood, soak it in, maybe swing by the Hard Off, go to the mall, stick around at the Starbucks for the afternoon, come back home and do laundry. Amazing. What a day. Maybe it'll develop into a random adventure. I'm still really surprised. I didn't know when I started this podcast how it would go. And I think it's safe to say it's been a little 50-50. I think about half of this crap that happens to me, I think, is kind of interesting. But I do think a big chunk of it is quite plain, just average walking around Japan doing nothing stuff. But overall, I'm like, I think this is kind of interesting. It's kind of a neat little chronicle of Japan. But I expected to run out of stuff to say a lot more easily. I'm amazed that to whatever degree of value and usefulness any of this is, that something does still happen every day that I think is like neat enough to make a podcast about. There's been so many days when I'm like, today surely is the day nothing really is going to happen. And then I still make a podcast about it. It's like, oh, something still happened. And even today I'm like, now surely this is the one. Surely today, this is it. Now we'll just segue, the next segment will be tomorrow, because nothing else is going to happen to me today. And maybe that is the case. We'll see. But even just today, it's still just nice. Like, I still think it's a little bit worth chronicling that it's finally kind of overcast today. That is one thing. I mean, this weather has just been so nuts that, you know, I usually kind of look forward a little bit to an occasional rainy day, even just back home. Like, just even though I was hiking the same stuff all the time during COVID, it was like getting pretty monotonous, but I still went out and hiked pretty much every day, and it still does eat up your day. It's hard to get stuff done at home when you're outside hiking around all the time. So sometimes a rainy day would be kind of a nice excuse to just stay inside and not to go out, not to do anything. And I kind of thought the same here. It's like, yeah, you know, eventually there'll be some rainy days and maybe I'll just stay in the freaking Airbnb all day or whatever. And it just hasn't happened. It's just too nice. It's like ludicrously nice. And as I've discovered talking to my friends in other parts of the world, it's like an El Nino year. So it literally is kind of overly nice everywhere. So this is definitely not quite normal. But today, while still not rainy, it is overcast. Gray clouds everywhere, which is much more how I expected things to be in general. But even still, it's just pretty. It's just nice, this little walk from my Airbnb to Kita Hachioji Station that I really love this little walk, this nice little quiet walk through this neighborhood. And I've finally learned how to navigate it without Google Maps. I mean, it's a 15-minute walk, if even, but I got lost several times, like turned all the way around, like back to the station, you know? Like, what the heck? I managed to figure out a couple of very distinct landmarks and I can actually navigate it now without the phone. But it's just so nice. And even just this, looking out over this neighborhood and just the power lines in the sky against the clouds is fucking gorgeous. It just looks so beautiful. I mean, I wonder if this had been a more conventional winter, if it had been this way every day for the last 9 weeks or whatever, I wonder how I would have felt about it. You know, it's probably wouldn't seem as pretty. But I don't know, I really wonder, because the summer, it is just so oppressively hot. I still think maybe this is better. Maybe this would still be better. But I've been so lucky, I don't even have to find out. I've just been getting summertime weather in the winter. It's been fucking amazing. That was the whole reason, too, that I finally got myself into gear and got myself to Japan, is because WestJet in Canada stopped their flights at the end of October. So, I mean, I just expected it to be pretty rough. You know, if you're giving up on the flights and you're like, ah, no need, there's no tourism, nobody's going to want to go there, we're just going to stop the flights. And then I get here and it's perfect, just perfect weather for like 70 straight days or whatever. It's just like, wow, not what I expected. But yeah, I mean, I guess this is how these podcasts keep filling up, because I just keep thinking of something else to ramble about. But I did do a little quick research. I haven't done my proper research for South Korea yet. But I did just look up, like, where is my Airbnb in relation to the airport? And I'm going to the closer, more central airport. And it's nice to have just little things laid out ahead of you. That little feeling of preparation instead of just the wild unknown. That I just pulled up the airport and my Airbnb, and it's like, I don't quite know the scale of Seoul, but it's like, that doesn't look that bad. That looks like one of those 3-hour walks, you know? Like, if I had to, since I have a self-check-in code for that place, it's just one of those things that, like, worst case scenario, if I had to walk from the airport, which, again, I've learned several times already, don't do that. That's silly. But it seems very doable if for some crazy reason I just can't figure out transit. I mean, I don't know why that would ever happen. But it's still just a little comforting to know. If you had to take it into your own hands, it'd be all right. Although it couldn't give me walking directions. And there is a bridge involved. And I don't know if that means you can't walk across the bridge. Or maybe Google Maps for Korea, it's just not developed yet to know all the routes. I have no idea. I mean, hopefully I won't have to learn that one. You know, walking from the airport. What am I even talking about? But it's just nice to have that little thing laid out ahead of me. Of like, oh yeah, this thing is really not that far. Because who knows? Who knows, man? I just got the cheapest Airbnb. It could have been anywhere. But I do think, I mean, obviously, I'm a little attached to Japan, that even these overcast days, I'm like, look how beautiful the overcastness is. Look at the beautiful gray clouds against, you know, against a sea of power lines. What a beautiful view. Like, this is clearly a person who's got rose-colored glasses for Japan. But it's nice to start ramping up my knowledge of what is to come in South Korea. Because it's obviously the best thing is to not try to hang on to this. I don't have that much time left. It's going to go by pretty fast. And what's the point? What's the point in being, like, down about it? Like, oh, I got to leave Japan. Darn it. You know, it's like, whatever. I've been here for ages. Everything has gone amazingly. There's nothing to complain about. And nothing to be gained by trying to hold on. The best thing to do is to just focus on the next step. Focus on the next leg of the journey. Get excited about that. Get excited about exploring a new place. And just let Japan naturally fade away in its natural course, as it is meant to do. As the life of any traveler is, you gotta keep traveling, you gotta move on. And even just that, I don't know, like I always paint these mental images or get these ideas of what something is going to be like, what an experience is going to be like, and it's never accurate. Like I still have a version in my mind of what, just what I expected like the Airbnb in Chiba to be like, for an example. And it was nothing like that. It was actually way cooler and everything went way better and it was just neat and interesting. But that other version is still in my brain, this expectation of how a trip was going to go that just didn't even happen. So anyway, I'm building this expectation of South Korea. I've got an image in my mind of what that journey is like from the airport to the place, based purely on Google Maps. It's completely wrong. I don't even know what that river looks like in real life. But at least I have an idea in my head that's not just purely vague. I got something that I can kind of focus on and look forward to and like, oh yeah, that's going to come up. That's going to be exciting. That's an adventure. All right, I'm going to hop in 7-Eleven and see if they have any barbecue mackerel. And if they don't, I think I'm still just going to go back to my plan of having a little lunchtime meal to start the day at freaking New Days in Hyjima Station. Yesterday I got an egg tart. It was delicious. Man, one thing that's really nice about the hot drinks out of the machines is last night when I finally got to the train station, and that's like a really little train station. Almost all the stations past Ome are very tiny little self-check-in type places, and it had a coffee machine of a brand I'd never heard of before. Now I don't remember what it was called. It started with a Y. But anyway, I was like, oh, I gotta try that. You know, it's pretty much the same as all the other ones, but it's one I never had before. And my shoulder was hurting a little because my shoulder, due to my scoliosis, it's the first part of my body to wear out. For whatever weird reason, it's not even my bad knee. It's always my shoulder. So I got this hot coffee that was like hot enough that it's kind of hard to hold. That's one thing I like about getting them out of the machine. If you go to the hot drink part of the convenience stores, it's not really all that hot. Out of the machine, these things are really hot. And I just held it against my sore muscle, and it's like, oh, that feels real good. To give myself a little heat massage. And today, my shoulder doesn't especially hurt, but it's still, as always, it's the first to go. And I mean, it's probably not fully recovered from yesterday because I didn't really sleep that much. But I just did it again. I just got a little Wanda brand, little steamed milk and coffee. And it's just one of the tiny cans, but I'm just holding it against my muscle, and it's like, ha, yeah, that feels so good. I don't know that I would ever bother to have like a heat pack or anything. It's not really worth traveling around with. But if I can just get this as a bonus before I drink the coffee from the machine, it's like, shit, why not? Very nice. And I think I might have a plan for tomorrow. I was just standing at the station and I was looking through the pictures on my phone. And I saw one that I was like, what is this? I didn't remember that I'd taken this picture. Where one of the reasons why I didn't go on a normal straight up and down mountain hike yesterday and instead went to the Ome Hills hiking course, which actually was super amazing and turned out way better. It does turn out, I think, going lengthwise across a bunch of mountains nearer their base is much more my style than going straight up and straight back. It was the straight back thing. It's like I don't necessarily want to hike 90 minutes or 2 hours up and then come exactly back the same way. There's so many mountains and stuff around the Ome area. Surely there's other options than that where you could have a different route, more of a loop. Of course, the only loop I found was starting out at Okutama, the Triple Crown Three Peak Loop, and that takes like 7 or 8 hours. So it's like, I bet somewhere in here there's some kind of happy middle. And I forgot about this because that other 90 minute up and back one was by Metake Station. This one is by Hinatawara Station, a couple of stations west of Ome. I took this picture of, they have their stuff in the local area, you are here type map. And it's got Mount Mimurayama, Mimuroyama, And I'll have to do a little research, look this up a bit, but this is on the other side of the river from the Ome Hills hiking course. And it appears that from that station, you can take a path up to a shrine and then up to the peak of that mountain, but then you can come back down a different route and be another two stations west, basically. Similar terrain as the hiking course, except up a mountain. And I also learned on that hiking course that it seems that, this is a good excuse to do a little experimenting, it seems that the point when I start to feel a little uncomfortable, that I'm a little too high up in the sky, is about 500 meters. Apparently, Mount Mimurayama is 646 meters. So it is higher than that. But depending on the terrain, I don't know, I'd be curious to see. Does that bother me? Is it the literal height? I mean, I'm sure it's not the literal height. If I am just surrounded by trees and I can't really tell where I am, I'm sure I won't be aware of the height at all. You know, I obviously need it to be like an open, clear area with a view. Then I'll start getting freaked out probably. But that seems pretty cool, because not only is that a accessible mountain, I don't have to go up and come straight back down the same way. There's another route down, or routes continuing along if you want to just do all the peaks in the world. That seems really doable. So I'm going to look up a bit more about it, but maybe that's what I'm going to do. And when I saw this picture on my phone, I'm like, oh yeah, cool. Like, I can see why I forgot about that, because it was just something that crossed my mind when I was there the other day. I didn't really dig into it, and I, in fact, forgot that I took this picture. I just remembered the phenomenon, I guess, of like, oh yeah, at each station, they kind of direct you toward their local mountains. But I'm glad I took this picture to spark my memory about this one. And then I was thinking, like, I know I stayed up all night, I know I'm exhausted, and I know it's already late in the day. It's like nearly 2 p.m., it's not that much light left, but man, that would be cool. Should I go do that? Why don't I go do that? It's like, no, you stupid idiot. You definitely can't do that. You don't have nearly enough time, and you are tired. You're only excited in this moment because it's a plan and it's a thing to do. By the time you even get to the base of that trail, you'll probably already be feeling that you're a little exhausted. By the time you're halfway up, you will realize you've made a horrible mistake. And yeah, there's just not enough time. There's no physical way to do that today. But I wanted to. Seems so exciting. But then I got to Akigawa Station, and definitely part of this is because I'm so tired that I feel this way. I'm definitely a little soft in the feelings right now because I'm tired. But man, these places that I went in 2019, when I first came to Japan, which were basically Naka Itabashi Station in that neighborhood, Umebayashi Station in that neighborhood in Fukuoka, and this one, Akigawa, in Akiruno. I guess just because it was the first time I came to Japan, and, you know, Japan was always just so, like, on my back burner, seemed cool. There's a lot of Japanese stuff I'm a fan of, video games and anime and whatnot, but I really didn't expect that I would necessarily ever come to Japan. And then when it lined up that my friend was here and I came, and then it was just so much more interesting and so much more valuable an experience than I expected. And I guess also given that, you know, I'd only been to America before and a little bit of the Netherlands, besides that, just traveling within Canada. But I can't say I ever especially loved traveling. Me in America did not get along, and me in the Netherlands did not really get along, you know? I was like, geez, culture shock really is a thing. I just only feel comfortable when I'm in Canada, you know? And you can give me these different slants on Canada, like, oh, it's a little different in Montreal than it is in Vancouver, than it is in Toronto, than it is on the East Coast in Halifax or something. And that's interesting enough. I'm good. I started to realize, like, I don't know if I want to travel the world. And then I got to Japan and I was like, this is so fucking exciting. This is so cool. This is such a valuable experience. I just feel like I'm soaking in so much ambient information, you know? Am I interpreting it properly? Who can say? What actual use is it in my life? Maybe nothing. I don't know. It's just cool. It's just really fucking cool. The big bad city is cool. The fucking nature outskirts are cool. It's all just really fucking cool. And I've obviously felt that way the second time as well. But these places, I guess I kind of forgot like how much. But these are always going to be, those three neighborhoods. They're just always going to feel different from everywhere else. They're just going to feel better. Like, you know, I was kind of like, oh, I should just kind of come back here one time while I'm in West Tokyo. Almost perfunctorily of like, ah, I should really come back to this neighborhood, even though not quite sure why. No specific hiking stuff around here. Kind of just going to go to the mall, you know. But as soon as I got here and I started walking around, it's like, oh yeah, fuck. It's that feeling of walking through my memories from 2019. And then even though I'd been back out here on this trip, you know, where I was at the place right by the train line. But even that, still, that just kind of added to the legend of the place. This is the place. Man, it's just the weird feeling of walking through your own nostalgia. It's so fucking cool. It's just amazing. I love it here. I don't need to do anything here. It doesn't matter. I just want to walk around. So yeah, this is making me realize that I'm going to have to make one more trip up to Naka Itabashi as well. Specifically, probably the walk from Oji up the Shikuji River. It's going to be a little bit of a distance from my final Airbnb in Yokohama, but maybe not. Yokohama doesn't really seem all that far from the JR loop, and then I can just take the JR loop up to its northern part of the loop, and I mean, and there you go. I'm basically there. Should be no problem. But yeah, just, man, these places are just... I mean, it'll be interesting on trip number three to see if any of these places from trip number two have this same legendary feeling in my brain. But I don't know that they can. I don't know if that's possible. I think just because these were the places. The first places that I went, like just looking around it, I'm like, man. It's weird because it's just another neighborhood. It's just another part of Japan. But it feels amazing that I'm here. It's like, yeah, the old Airbnb is over there. There's the old fucking 7-Eleven I would always go to. Around the corner, there's the Family Mart. There's a park ahead of me where on this trip is where I got ice cream out of the machine in the little bag. A little too chilly for that today. I don't think I'm going to do that. In fact, I think I'm just going to loop up around and go to the mall. But man, I don't know. I'm glad I came out here. I'm glad I didn't let this one slip by. Because, yeah, really, just if you had asked me 2 hours ago, I'd be like, hey, yeah, sure, whatever. You know, I'll go there. I like that neighborhood. Why not? Got nothing else to do today. It's just laundry day. And yeah, now that I'm here, I'm like, this place is fucking magical, man. This is my Disneyland, you know? It's just fields and kind of like the one sort of major highway street that runs through town. I guess there's a second one a little further down. I mean, right now I'm just walking through fields. Just fields with like cabbage looking stuff in them. I mean, it's safe to say. Safe to say there's nothing here. There's that Tokyo Summerland place in the summer, I guess. I've never been there. Every once in a while I catch a view of the Ferris wheel. I think that's kind of the thing that's here. Besides that, it's very fair to say there's nothing here. But I just love it, man. I love it. It's so good. Feels so good. I stopped in the Hard Off and they did have a little tiny Eurocamp toy, just like a little hangy $3, like, you know, thing you'd hang on your, off the end of your book bag or something, or hang on the mirror in your car. But it was, is Nadishko again, who I already got her toy out of a gacha machine in Fukuoka. It was a different toy, but I've got a Nadishko. I took it out of my bag and I've just got it just sitting on the desk in my Airbnb. If it had been a different character, I probably would have bought it, but I don't want to just start hoarding Nadishko toys. That'd be weird. The whole idea was just it'd be cool if I could find something from an anime that I watch, but my problem is I don't watch enough modern anime. I kind of only watched Eurocamp, Nananbiari, and Super Cub. And I found a Super Cub toy, but it was more based on the motorcycle than the show, but that's good enough, I'll take it. And then I found some Eurocamp stuff in Fukuoka, finally. But if I had not found that Eurocamp gotcha, this would have been it. This would have been it. Like, this actually would have been kind of cool, where as my trip is starting to wind down, where I just was like giving up hope that I was really going to find any stuff for shows that I like, then I would have saw it here and been like, oh, I did it, I found it, whoa. But since I got one already, I got an Edishko toy. I kind of want a Rin figure or little hanger thing. Would be cool. I don't actually want a toy, like a whole figure. What would I do with that? These little things that you just hang off your book bag are perfect. But Nadishko, apparently she's the one. she's the popular character. Or maybe she's not. Maybe that's the problem. Maybe Rin really is the popular character. So everybody just wants to get rid of their Nadishko shit. It's all right. I guess I'm just going to head to the mall now. Head through this park on the way. Not that this park is at all on the way. Actually, I might not even make it to the mall. Who knows? As I just start walking around, maybe I'll just mosey around this neighborhood all afternoon. It's possible. Actually, I think I might do that. I don't know. Anyway, I think it's happened once again. Miraculously, when I thought, like, oh, here's a day where I'll have nothing to say. But then I got slapped in the face with a big, big nostalgia slap. And that's good enough. By the standards of this podcast, I consider this a perfectly cromulent episode. That's kind of the point, is just to chronicle stuff like this. How it feels to travel to places. And man, yeah, your little personal Disneyland, your little personal places that just to you are the magical land. I don't know, it's a pretty interesting phenomenon. Because, yeah, I couldn't, if I was trying to pitch to somebody to come to Akigawa Station and walk around, what would I even say? What could I possibly, especially the more I learn about these environs, and I'm like, yeah, you could just go a little further and go to Musashi Itsukaishi and do actual stuff. Go to an actual hike. You could go up to Ome, and then there's no end to all the stuff you could do. It's wild how much stuff there is up there. You could go down to Mount Takao if you're some kind of fucking idiot. But how would I ever pitch this neighborhood? I just couldn't. There's nothing here. But it's so beautiful. I love it so much. It feels so good. Just because of the time I spent around here. That was like a weird little investment, and now it's paying off. Sweet. All right, well, I'm going to walk around the magical neighborhood of Akiruno. Well, I just had a first time experience of an old classic where I just smacked my head on a doorway, but it was in a public washroom. That's the first time that's happened. In Fukuoka, it was a bit of a problem because I was in these older houses, so a lot of the doorways were too small, and I really had to watch out to not bang my head on stuff. But it's never happened to me at a public washroom before, so it's so shocking because you just don't expect it. It's been several weeks since I've hit my head on something, and I was just leaving this little washroom, and bam! I just did not expect the opening to be so small. So that rattled my brain a little bit. So I was wandering around and I ended up at the Nishitama Cemetery, Nishitama Cemetery. And this is kind of cool because I have been here before in 2019, just wandering around the neighborhood. I ended up here and it's this enormous, really beautiful cemetery because it's all set on a hill and you can just look up and see tons and tons of curated bushes and graves. And up at the top, there's a tree line with some paths that run along it, and you can just see out over a bunch of mountains. And it's kind of neat because it's neat just to be back here because it's quite beautiful. But I have such a better understanding of the terrain now. In 2019, I was like, I don't know what's out there. It just looks like an endless sea of mountains. I can definitely not go walk out there because I don't know what's gonna happen. But now I know that area, not the Ome Hills hiking course I was on yesterday, but the earlier one that I was on the other side of the river, it's that. So it's not small. I probably would have been okay because it was summertime then, and I would have had a lot of time before it got dark. But when you just don't know what's on the other side, it would just be extremely ridiculous to sally forth. But yeah, it's kind of cool now that, I mean, it's 4 o'clock, so I only have an hour of sun. I can't go in there today either, but now I know, sort of. I mean, I can't say I know what's in there. I've only been there once, and not even at this part of it. But basically, I know what it is. You know, it's a series of paths in some woods, but I do know what's around it. Like, I know how if you push past and get to the other side, I know you get to the Tama River, and then across from there is Ome Station. And then even just nearby to here, over to the east is Spider Mountain. It's like, I know fucking Spider Mountain, all right. I'm well fucking acquainted with Spider Mountain. So yeah, this is just kind of cool because I spent a lot more time walking around this neighborhood in 2019. But this time, with the additional power of Google Maps, and I mean, before I kind of just deliberately, maybe that's partially what made this neighborhood really grind its way into my mind, is I wasn't really trying to explore per se. I was just walking around and I'd add little teeny bits to my knowledge, but I was happy to just walk around the neighborhood, not to like push at the edges. Where this whole trip I've been pushing at the edges. It's like, what's this hill? What's this fucking path? What's over here? What's over there? And it's really neat how all of these things connect up. None of the distances, like even though the totality of Tokyo is very large, to get from one specific neighborhood to the other is not that big of a deal, you know? To get from here over to Fusa, not that big a deal. Or to go up to Ome, not that big a deal. Even to go the other way, now that I've kind of connected in Hachioji, that's a much less pretty direction to go. But I kind of know how that all connects up too. And I guess it's just that, you know, when you connect all these things together, it becomes enormous. Because I'm like looking at the map and it's like, yeah, from here, if I went over to Ome and I went over to this, and then it's actually not that far to those reservoir lakes I was at the other day. And this connects to that, and this connects to that, and da-da-da-da-da. If you did them all together, then it's insane. Then it's an epic days-long journey it would take you to hike across Tokyo. But if you just take one specific neighborhood and the three or four that are around that neighborhood, you can go a neighborhood or two, or maybe three if you're especially enterprising, in a day, and they all connect up, and it's just fucking neat. Yeah, here we go. So I'm getting toward the top of this cemetery, and there's a tree line up there. Wait, did I say? Man, this place is really big. I'm actually not even close. Wow, this thing is really big. Although maybe I am at the top of the cemetery part. The big green splotch on the map, though, is real big. Akiruno Base Campground. Yeah, and I guess, it's actually, it is a ways to the Ome side. I'm looking at, like, Ozaku Station. I'm, like, one-third of the way, basically, between Akigawa and Ozaku. Maybe a bit further than that. Yeah, I had these vague ideas of, like, what if I did just push through? And, I mean, I could. It's all city stuff, basically. Even if it gets dark, I could do it. But, no, I think, I think circling back around Akigawa is the best plan for today. But yeah, it is very neat to come back here with my new info. And yeah, if you happen to be in this neighborhood, I guess I was saying how, like, there's nothing in this neighborhood, there's nothing here. But if you do happen to be in these environs, Nishitama Cemetery, it is really gorgeous. It is so big. It's not the largest cemetery I've seen in Japan. I mean, I guess that one by Nippori Station is larger, for example. But that this one is all set on mountains, different layers that go up the side of the hill, makes it extremely picturesque. So yeah, maybe not necessarily worth making a journey for, but if you're in the environment of it, definitely worth coming to. Man, this cemetery, it's bigger than I remembered. It goes up and up and up and up. I was like, all right, I think that must be the end of the official cemetery. Pretty distinct fence line here. And then there's one more set of stairs and I go up them and I'm like, whoa, okay, here's a little extra layer. But that's gotta be it, right? And then there's one more set of stairs up to some super premium exclusive graves. It's like, geez, man, this is really high up. That's eerie. So many times that's happened in this podcast where music just starts playing. 4:28, so I mean, I guess this is the 5 o'clock song, but funeral edition. It is a bit organ-y sounding. But yeah, up at the very, very top grave, there was a fence, and behind that fence was a little pathway. It's not the one I was on before, I think, where I went. I can see it from here, but I had to kind of scramble up a hillside a little, which is kind of not exactly dignified behavior in a cemetery, but I do remember that's what I did in 2019 to get to the path. And yeah, so there's paths behind the cemetery that go off into the wild blue yonder. And it would be a little interesting now that I know not to fear them. Because for all I knew, I mean, my sense of geography was so vague in 2019 that I'm like, I don't know, like, is this the edge of Tokyo? Maybe these mountains just go on for 80 miles. I don't know. And it turns out they do not. It'd be no real biggie. But I only got half an hour of light, so none of that today. Or probably ever. I doubt I'll ever really bother. But it's a, I don't know, it's a thing. And man, there are so many drinks just left as offerings. And I just noticed here a Smirnoff Ice. I didn't know they sold Smirnoff Ice in Japan. I've never seen one before. But there is a lot of mixtures of different, just all kinds of different drinks, some alcoholic, some not. And it was making me think of, I only did this one time. When I first moved to Vancouver and I was in my early 20s and I was an idiot, I was at some dance club. These girls I met through, I guess it's a long story. We lived in the same building. And they took me to a dance club, one of these things that I normally wouldn't have done on my own. Oh, pause the story. This grave has little figures next to it. There's a Care Bear and a Mickey Mouse, and another Care Bear and a Minnie Mouse. And besides that, they're, I think, just sort of generic little figures. But I've never seen that at a grave before. Little toys. But yeah, I remember when, I went to this, my first club in a big city. It was a pretty interesting experience. It was kind of cool, and I'm glad they dragged me along because I never would have had the gumption on my own. But I remember as we were going in, there was a girl wearing a t-shirt that said, "I'm easy," which I've never seen before or since. You know, what the hell was that? But I was like, whoa, big city, man. Holy crap. Just what is going on here? But I remember as that night dragged on, there were a lot of abandoned drinks, just drinks that were a third full just sitting around that clearly nobody cared about. And I was, this was hours later, so I was fucking wasted already. My problem-solving and basic human etiquette sensors were all fucked up. And I started hooking drinks. I just started nabbing drinks and drinking them. And I don't think it matters so much that I was stealing drinks, because they really were just like, this drink is done. It has been put down and it is never being touched again. Still though, I mean, ridiculous to like steal people's drinks, but I definitely paid for it. It was just an insane amount to drink. I just kept hooking drinks. I must have drank like the equivalent of 10 drinks. It's fucking so insane. I remember thinking at the time, like, I wonder if one of those was like drugged, but I doubt it. I think I just drank that much, you know, that I was traveling through time. I mean, it was a little bit like when I got way too drunk in Chiba, where I wouldn't really realize the extent of it until I closed my eyes. And then when I closed my eyes, it was like I was pulsing through time. Like I felt like I was moving 2 feet forward and returning 2 feet forward, returning in a strobe. And I couldn't stop that feeling that I was moving until I opened my eyes again. I did feel that in Chiba. But it was way worse in this time in Vancouver. And yeah, I mean, the whole thing was just a shit show. I was just in over my head. I didn't know what I was doing. A complete social fool on all levels. But again, those girls that lived in the same building as me, they got me home. They looked after me. God bless them. So the way in Chiba, I learned that I really gotta not drink to excess anymore. I didn't learn that lesson in Vancouver, but I did learn, don't hook drinks, you fucking maniac. That's insane behavior. So I'm glad to say I never did that again. Anyway, the reason I tell that story is all of these drinks everywhere. You could get fucked up, man. You could get fucked up in this cemetery easily. And I mean, if you were a older homeless guy, say, you probably don't want to bother coming all the way here, and like, there's a lot of hills. This is a huge cemetery. You don't want to go up these steps. It's not worth it. It's probably not that tough, because booze is so cheap in this country to cobble together a fucking 150 yen, and you can buy a cup of wine or something. Like, everything is so cheap here. But I was thinking, what if you were a kid? What if you were like a teenager who just wanted to get booze? This would be an amazing place to do that. And I gotta assume that just is not something that happens in Japan commonly. But that would happen in North America for goddamn sure. And I was kind of thinking, I do have this one story I started writing long before I ever came to Japan about these punk rock kids in Japan. But it's a little weird. Now that I've been to Japan, I realize, like, a lot of the stuff I wrote into this story, just assumptions I was making, you know, I'm basically just basing it on my time living... Whoa. My time living in Vancouver, or even just going to punk shows in my small hometown and transposing it onto Japan, it doesn't really fit. None of it really works. So if I ever do continue on with that story, I might just keep it that way, you know, keep it as the, like, a fake version of Japan, just imagined by someone who'd never been there. I think for that story, that maybe is just the kind of story that it's meant to be. Because if I start taking my experiences in real Japan and trying to apply them to that story, the story just evaporates. Because it's really not a story about Japan. It's a story about North American punk rock culture, really. And I just said it in Japan because that seemed cool, you know? And for better or for worse, I think that's just what that story is. But it did just cross my mind just now. It's like, well, those characters could do this. Like, it's kind of surprising with all this time in Japan that I've added virtually nothing to that story based on these experiences, because, yeah, it's just better for that story to be fake. That story's meant to be the fake Japan. But in this case, I was like, you know, though, this is a real thing. This is an actual thing you could do, and that maybe these characters would do. Head through a cemetery at night and just... If you're already drunk and your decision-making fucking processes are not at full power, just start hooking drinks. But it's such a fantastically unlikable thing to do. That's one thing I've started to realize lately, is it's one thing, you know, we don't want, like, boring cookie-cutter characters that are just, like, especially the good guys are always so generic. It's one reason why people like the bad guys better, because at least they're interesting. But it's really gone too far the other way. I read stuff now, or I watch movies, and I've just seen so many things lately where these quote-unquote good guys, these protagonists, but they have, like, the rough edges, and they're a little... it's a little bit shades of gray and whatever. They just take it way too far, and these people are so fucking unlikable that it makes me hate the whole story. I'm just like, I don't even want to read about you. You're a fucking cunt. You're an asshole. It doesn't take that much for a character to be wildly unlikable. And if they're like a little bit prickly all the time and just a little bit rubbing everyone the wrong way the whole time and just a little bit annoying the whole time, that's a terrible failure. It makes me hate the whole story. It's like, why am I reading about this fucking idiot? I hate this person. This person sucks. And I think that rambling through a cemetery and stealing the booze from the graves and getting drunk, I don't think that's fun, likable behavior. I think that's like, why am I reading about these assholes? These people fucking suck. So yeah, I think not. I think that, I think this particular observation that, hey, there's a lot of booze in cemeteries, and theoretically you could drink it. I think that's as far as that observation goes, is it's just a stupid thing that I noticed that I can throw on this podcast. It's never something that you would ever do in real life, and not even something you can really work into your fiction, because, like, who the fuck does that? Nuts to that. I think it's, I guess another way to describe it is like, well, it's kind of like in real life, where I heard it described that, you know, if you're the nicest person in the world, like you really go out of your way to just be so nice to everybody and so helpful and just like break your back to be a nice, helpful, friendly person. Other people, you know, they have their own lives, they have their own problems, they have their own stuff to worry about. They're not that focused on you. So even if you are like the most miraculously great person ever, probably other people's perception of you is like, oh yeah, that person's all right. I don't mind them. They're all right. You know, they're just kind of glad that you're generally not fucking them around and you're easy to deal with and you're not making their life harder. They'll like you, but they're not going to say like, oh, he's the best. They're just going to go like, yeah, it's all right. I like that person. That person's all right. Meanwhile, if you're just all right, if you're like kind of nice and you're basically okay to people, people's perception of you is going to be a big step down from that. Like, eh, I guess they're okay. They're not the worst. But what if you are a little bit like, oh, I'm going to be that person who's a little tough. I'm going to be that person who says the prickly thing. I'm going to be that person who's a little bit, ho, ho, look at me. You might think you're being like a little bit playful, but probably other people's perception of you is, what a fucking asshole. What a dickhead. What a fucking douchebag. And if you're a fucking douchebag, people want to kill you. They want you dead. So I think it's important to keep that in mind, that whatever you think of yourself, take it down a couple notches, and that's what everyone else thinks of you. The best person in the world is just okay, and it only goes down from there. And I think that holds true with writing as well, with characters in fiction. I can't believe it sometimes when I'm reading something or playing a video game or watching a movie or a TV show, where this person's supposed to be a special snowflake. They're a little prickly, they're a little on the spectrum or something. And it's like, dude, I think you, as the author, misinterpreted how I was gonna see this character. Because to me, this person is the fucking devil. I hate everything about them. They're a fucking dick. So there's some unsolicited writing advice. It's like if you think people are just going to put up with some character just because they're the main character, they're fucking not. This is not Little House on the Prairie times where you're lucky if you have two or three novels available to you. This is the media flood. This is the world where there's always another book, there's always another show, there's always another game. If you're just taking it for granted, they're like, oh yeah, the audience is just going to put up with my annoying character. No, they're fucking not. They don't have to, and they won't. But that's quite a random, unexpected ramble outside the actual purview of this podcast. Thank you for putting up with it. Yeah, it's funny. This advice, this could apply to this whole show. Like, why are we listening to this guy? Fuck this guy. Why do we care what he thinks about Japan? And it's like, fair enough. That's probably true. But I gotta assume at this point, the many folk who probably did feel that way surely have stopped listening by now. So those of you that are still here, thank you for putting up with my occasional pointless tirade. But yeah, making my way back down the cemetery now. It's getting pretty dark. Still very overcast. Didn't rain at all today. It has been cloudy all day, but it has not rained. Whew. Yeah, I'm just like at, I think I'm like midway down. There's like a big archway with a clock on it. It's about 13 minutes to 5. And yeah, that's a nice view. Again, it's weird to review anything, but it's weird to review a little weird to review places. You know, I've been looking up lately more of these, like, reviews on Google Maps and stuff of places, mainly just to, you know, get a sense of what am I heading to? What kind of geography am I looking at? Is this something that I can do? But there's always a star rating. So weird. Why do you need to give a star rating to a nature trail? It's fucking strange. It's like everything doesn't need to be a rating. I find that odd. So I guess I go more on the pass-fail, maybe. And on pass-fail, this place is cool. Again, what am I saying? It sounds like it's a fucking cemetery. Why am I reviewing a cemetery? That is fucking weird and stupid. I think you can just infer, I guess, from this episode and my ramblings that it's pretty beautiful. And I think if you're nearby, it's certainly worth coming to. That's fine. That's plenty. All right, heading back to the station. Gotta go home and do laundry. We did it. Another day where... Although, I mean, again, this is what happens every day. It turns into an adventure. It's like, oh, I'll just go to the mall. Sit there with my laptop. Like hell I will. Like fucking hell I will. I mean, if it weren't for the encroaching darkness, man, would have found my way around that fence up there probably, and I'd be somewhere in the deep woods right now. So I should say thank you, Mr. Darkness. You saved me from myself, because I am pretty wiped today. This is not the day to be heading off into the wild, rolling hills of yonder. But yeah, this was fucking cool. Akiruno, man. I love this neighborhood. All right, I didn't quite make it. The last little stretch from Kita Hachioji back to my Airbnb. It started raining, but luckily, even though it's just my little crappy umbrella with the broken spoke, I had it tucked away. So I made it. I'm all right. It's not raining that hard, but hard enough that I'm glad I got an umbrella. All right, thank you for listening. Maybe tomorrow I'll climb a mountain. Maybe it'll be real rainy, and I won't. I don't know. We will see. But I'll see you next time. Thank you for listening. Adios.